And you take your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 1. 2 Kings chapter 1, again, these 1 Kings, 2 Kings are one book in the original, and so it just continues on from 1 Kings. And here we're seeing what comes of Ahaziah, Ahab's son, in this first chapter. And so for 2 Kings chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. This is the word of God. Now Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover from this sickness." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' Then Elijah departed. When the messengers returned to him, he said to them, 'Why have you returned?' They said to him, 'A man came up to meet us and said to us, Go, return to the king who sent you and say to him, Thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' He said to them, 'What kind of man was he who came up to meet you and spoke these words to you?' They answered him, 'He was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound about his loins.' And he said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.' And the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on the top of the hill. And he said to him, 'O man of God, the king says, come down.' Elijah replied to the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said to him, 'O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly.' Elijah replied to them, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent the captain of a third 50 with his 50. When a third captain of 50 went up, and he came and bowed down on his knees before Elijah and begged him and said to him, 'O man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight.' Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains of 50 with their 50s, but now let my life be precious in your sight." The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him." So he rose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, "Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die.' So Ahaziah died, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Israel?" That is the word of the Lord. This first chapter of 2 Kings shows us many things about Yahweh. It is often easy to look at passages like this, as we've done before. We've looked at passages like these and not really think of Yahweh. But we must consider Yahweh, for he is the subject of this passage. First, he detests our idols. Yahweh detests our idols. Ahaziah is a king who follows after his father and after his mother. He worships Baal. And because he worships Baal, we meet the intolerant God, the Lord Almighty. And he speaks through his prophet, Elijah. And as these messengers of Ahaziah are going out, Elijah speaks to them, and the Lord speaking through him, and Yahweh's messenger shows he has more authority over the messengers than even the king of Israel, who is here called the king of Samaria. Remember this morning when we talked about those from Bethel, they were Samaritans. And here you kind of see that the northern kingdom was linked to Samaria. And so his messengers, well, we find out Ahaziah's messengers, they didn't carry out their order, which would be worthy of death, and yet they have followed the order of God's messenger, Yahweh's messenger. And so they come back with the word of the Lord, a word from the Lord. And who did Ahaziah seek out in his time of need? He had fallen, he had become sick. Who did he seek out? He sought out Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, not Yahweh. He has constantly served Baal and preferred Baal over Yahweh, like he learned very well from his father and mother. And because Yahweh detests our idols, he judges those who have idols, as he has already promised to do. And he does here in verse 4, you will surely die. Reminds us of what happened in the fall after sin, or the promise of eating from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You will die, die. Here it's the same. It's a very definite death. And the theme of this chapter is clear with the repeating question in verse 3, 6, and 16. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Or similar wording we find in verse 16. And yet the Lord is merciful. He gives Ahaziah a break in what he's doing to again consider the true God, Yahweh. But Ahaziah does not heed the warning. He sends out his captain of 50 with their 50. In verses 9 through 12, Yahweh, we see, is the one who defends his witnesses. Ahaziah sends his military out to bring Elijah in. Elijah has hurt his family enough. He knew very well who this man was. Verse 8, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Just a description of him was enough. Ahab had dealt with him and not liked him very much, as we've seen in the past couple chapters. And Ahaziah is the same feeling towards Elijah. It's only bad things that ever come from Elijah. And yet it's because he has not heeded the word of the Lord. And he wants to end this pain, Elijah. And he wanted to end the word of Yahweh. And yet Elijah isn't the end. Even if Elijah dies, which we'll see, you can put to death the instrument, the messenger, but you cannot put to death the eternal word of God. The first group comes with royal authority from the king himself. Come down. The second group demands speed. O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly. And in each case, Elijah responds, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. And from the text, we understand that Yahweh answered immediately to Elijah's call. If Elijah's call was sinful, wrong, perverse in any way, Yahweh would not have done it. And yet Yahweh does it. Exactly what he's asked. Yahweh approved of this call. This is exactly what the Lord wanted. A similar thing here happened at Mount Carmel, and the fire consuming the sacrifice, showing Yahweh to be the true God. And Ahaziah would have been aware of that from his father. He may even have been there that day when it happened. But Ahaziah has rebelled against the truth. When he has health problems, he appeals to Baal, the false loser god. And whereas this fire being sent is proof of Yahweh being the true God again, it also serves to protect Yahweh's witness. As the captain of the third 50 comes, his pride has been deflated, it seems. He knows that his stubborn king has gotten this, that this is the true God. The king hasn't gotten it. He hasn't heeded the word. It's not Baal that's the true God. It is Yahweh who is the true God. And so the captain pleads for his life. And Elijah is told by the Lord to go down and even go into the king. And as Yahweh has promised, so he fulfills his promise in verses 17 and 18. Ahaziah dies according to the word of Yahweh. God's threats and promises come about. We are to believe that, beloved, as we've even learned this morning in Acts. And somewhere we see it in Zechariah 2. And somewhere we see the peace that existed between Jehoshaphat and Ahab and Ahaziah, along with the marriage of Ahab's daughter to Jehoshaphat's son Jehoram. We see that Jehoram becomes king in the northern kingdom, as he was already reigning in the southern kingdom. It was his second year in Judah, serving there, and now he is king in the northern kingdom of Israel at the same time. And we'll learn more about Jehoram and his faults and marrying Ahab's daughter, what that entails. But here we learn that Yahweh detests idols. He's merciful. He defends his witnesses and he keeps his promises. Well, let us consider the Lord through prayer now. Our Father, we do thank you that you are a God who detests idols. You detest our idols. The images we make, you detest them. And so, Father, we ask that you would take them away from us. Cause us to be conflicted over having them. Show us what they are. Reveal them to us. That we would turn from them and repent. That we would put such things to death or destroy them if they are physical. Now, Father, we ask that you would not give us what we deserve in that. But you would be merciful in showing us once again by your word what they are. And working in us strength to destroy them. Father, we know that all such idolaters deserve death, as we see here. Maybe even pointing us back to creation and your command to Adam to not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We don't know if this the wording here is to be the same or is connected in any way. And yet it's still true. The warning is here that if we disobey you and we worship other gods, we don't keep your commandments, we don't desire to, and we will surely die. We will die. Eternal death. And so we do praise you because you have sent your Son into the world and promised him from long ago. And you've brought him and you sent him. And he has even went to the cross, bearing our sin and guilt for all those who believe in him for salvation. And so, Father, we thank you that you're a merciful God, that you keep your promises. And so, Father, now in this time, we ask that you would defend your witnesses, us, your people, who take the word forth, not only in preaching from this pulpit or other places, but even as we go out to our homes and our workplaces or wherever we go, we ask that you would defend us. And you, we know, surround us with myriads upon myriads of angels and your Son who rules over all, even over the devil, which we'll learn about in John. And Father, we thank you that you are a God who is protecting us. You are our King. And you defend us with your armies. Father, we thank you that we can go out boldly and proclaim your word. And know that nothing can separate us from your love. Father, this day we ask that you would keep us from evil. That you would give us peace and ability and the opportunities to worship you as we have had for many years. And so we do pray for those in authority over us, the government, and that you would save such people. And if not saving them, we ask that they would rule according to your word. At the least, you would enable us to worship you freely. And Lord, if the time comes when we are not able to worship freely, that we would worship still, gathering together with the people of God as they do in foreign countries where they are persecuted and killed and put to death for their faith, for even meeting together. Father, give us boldness and strength to do so if the time would come. Prepare us for such time in this easy time to live. Even through your word, through your Son, by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.